Morning. I want to wish all of our mothers a happy Mother's Day and to thank you. Thank you for being moms. You know, there's mothers and there's moms, right? The Bible speaks so highly of mothers. I mean, certainly when we look at Mary, the woman that God in all the ages chose to be the mother of His Son. What a woman. And when she was told, she said, and may it be the case with all of our mothers here today, I'm the bondservant of the Lord. God bless you for being mothers. God bless you for the love that you show. There's no one like a mother. There's no one that loves you in this world like your mother. I know, you know, I tell you things of my mother and I pick on her just a little bit. And I told her this morning she was the best mother I'd ever had. And she was so touched by my love and care, but so much of what I am today that I am proud of and that I am glad about comes from her. You know, in our world, certainty is a difficult prospect. It is hard in this world today to be certain about a lot of things because we do not know what 30 seconds from now holds, right? I mean, in 30 seconds, your phone could ring in your life change in ways that are hard to imagine right now at this moment. In 30 seconds, you could have a heart attack. You know, at some point, for everybody that's ever had a heart attack, there was 30 seconds before. In 30 seconds, a loved one could fall seriously ill and life change. In 30 seconds, a fire could begin in your home and take everything that you own. You know, I remember the Strickland Church of Christ. They worshiped just on a Sunday morning, just like today, while the fire burnt in the walls of the church building. And within an hour after the services were over, the building was gone. That was taking place while they were worshiping. 30 seconds. In 30 seconds, the Lord could burst into the sky with His angels and bring this earth, this universe, and everything in our physical life to an abrupt end at the judgment seat of Christ. See, I don't know what's going to happen 30 seconds from now. It's tough. And that gives us a level of uncertainty. Job certainly understood this. Job's life changed dramatically, did it not? In a matter of moments. If you remember the text in Job 1, the servants were coming in and telling him, and while that servant that just told him the bad news was leaving, another was coming in. I mean, it happened in moments that he lost everything, including his family. In moments, life changed. This reality creates in us worry. It is the uncertainty of life that causes us to worry. One of the great aspects of the gospel of Jesus Christ, though, is that it provides certainty in an uncertain world. I want us to quickly consider 10 things you never have to worry about. You know, before I go to that, I'm going to demonstrate to you the difference in people. Now, this morning I told Bobby that I had 10 points. I know all of y'all are groaning right now, thinking I'll never get to lunch with my mother. I told Bobby I had 10 points, and Bobby said, good, I'll get a longer nap. Now, that's one way to view it, right? Patrick found out I had 10 points and said, can I bargain you down to 7? Right? Some look to bargain, some look at the glass half full. Hey, I'll get a longer nap. But we got 10 points this morning, and it should be refreshing to know that there are at least 10 certainties in this world. I think there's more, but so that you can go eat lunch with your mother, we'll just look at the top 10. Number 10, we'll even count it down from that way. You never have to worry about if the Bible still has the answers. You know, Peter tells us in 1 Peter or 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. He has given us everything that pertains to living life and living it godly. How? Through the knowledge of what God has given to us in His Word. I have yet to find a problem in my life or in the lives of other people that the Bible does not have a solution for. The biggest problem is not finding a biblical answer. It is being willing to accept the answer that the Bible gives. Sometimes we don't want to do that. Sometimes it requires us to make choices we don't want to make. Sometimes it requires us to do things we don't want to do, or to go through difficulties we don't want to deal with. But we must accept the answer and do what is necessary if we want to truly deal with the problems in our lives. You know, the Bible has the answers for salvation. The Bible has the answers for real and active love. If there's a problem in my world today, is that people don't understand what love is. And if they look to their Bible, they'd have the answer for what real and active and deep love is, as we see it in the God of love. The Bible has the answers for having value. The Bible has the answer for strong marriage. The Bible has the answer for raising our children. The Bible has the answer for living our lives every single day. The answers to this life and living it godly are right here. And you can be sure of that. Number 9. You never have to worry about if prayer still works. James 5, James talks about Elijah and how that he was a man of prayer and that he prayed and it didn't rain for 3.5 years because of the prayer that he prayed. And he tells us that the fervent prayers of righteous men avail much. That's a certainty, folks. That's assured. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 11, Jesus says that we as fathers give good things to our children. But he goes on in verse 11 and he says, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good, give what is good to those, to those that ask Him? Prayer works. God gives. What good is trusting and having faith in God if we do not believe that He listens to our prayers? If we do not believe that He does what is best in answering the prayers? Not giving me what I want, but giving me what's best. What I need. Because see, I may not truly see what I need. I may not truly see what is best, but God does. And I trust Him to give that to me. Now the answer is to that question, what good is it having faith? The answer is, faith has no point if we serve a deaf and an uncaring God. But He does hear, and He does care, and He does answer. And prayer does still work and always will for those who love Him. Number 8, you never have to worry about if God is near. James tells us again in James chapter 4 and verses 7 through 8, submit therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 6, Jesus talks about sparrows that are worthless. He says they're not even worth 2 cents. But He says, yet every single one of them, not one of them, He says, is forgotten by God. And He goes on to say, you're much more important than a sparrow. Those sparrows are in God's constant awareness as they fly through the sky and they fall from the sky. God sees every single one of them. Don't you believe that He sees you? Don't you think that He's near you? Don't you believe that you're in His constant awareness too? For Jesus says you are worth more than many sparrows. God is more near to you than any person living in your house. He has known you since before your mother's womb. He knows all your days. And He knew them, as Jeremiah said, before there was even one. God is ever near. God is closer to you than anyone else in your life. He has been there during your best and your worst moments. He knows your deepest, darkest secrets. He is always more than near. He is all around you. He's always there for you. That's a constant. Number 7. You never have to worry about if God is still in charge. Sometimes we look at this world and we go, man, this place is out of control. But God is still in charge. In Acts chapter 17, verses 24 through 28, Paul, speaking to the Areopagites on Mars Hill there in Athens, says, the God who made the world and all things in it, since He is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is He served by human hands as though He needed anything, since He Himself gives to all people life and breath and all things, and He made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, that they would seek God, if perhaps they might grope for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each of us. For in Him we live and move and exist, as even some of your own poets have said, for we also are His children. God is in control. He's determined the times. He is never far from us. Nothing happens in this world without God causing it or allowing it for a time. His will is done. You know, the only times which God does not get what He wants is when He grants free will to you and me. And we abuse it and misuse it and use it foolishly to do those things that He would not want. Otherwise, as Gamaliel said to the Sanhedrin, if it is from God, man cannot stop it. Why? Because God has been, is, and always will be in charge and in control. Number six, you never have to worry about if there is still power to change lives. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God salvation, to bring about salvation, or unto salvation. You know, placing God's Word in our minds and on our hearts, that was last year's theme, on our minds and in our hearts. Placing God's Word in our minds and on our hearts will change our lives. God's Word has the power to change us, to make us into something better. It will make us people that truly love with all of our hearts. It will make us people that forgive even the most egregious wrongs. It will make us people that sacrifice self for the good of others. It will make us people that show compassion to those in need. That's powerful change, isn't it? That's a powerful change in people's lives when you look at how most people live their lives. That's powerful when we see people change their lives in just those ways, and there are so many others. Changing people in this way is powerful. It is the power of God. It is His power because He knows how to change us. He knows how to make us better because He knows us better than anyone else. He has the power to enable us to be born again, to be something different. Born again, not to be the same person, but to be a new person, a child of God. He enables us to be a new creation, as Paul told the Ephesians, in Jesus Christ. Number five, you never have to worry about if the Bible is true. John chapter 17 and verse 17, and the night before He died, Jesus said, sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. God's Word is true in every case. What we have here is true in every case. And if something contradicts God's Word, it is false, and God's Word is true. The fact that God's Word is truth is why I know and have no doubt that macroevolution is wrong. Because God's Word is true, I have no doubt that marriage can only be between a man and a woman. Because God's Word is true, I believe that life begins at conception. Because God's Word is true, marriage is the only place for a sexual relationship. Because God's Word is true, there is only one church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because the Bible is true, God's Word is true, baptism is essential to one being saved. Because God's Word is true, instrumental music and worship is not what God asked for. Because God's Word is true, one must obey the commands of God in order to be pleasing to Him. Because God's Word is true, I know that there will be a judgment day in which I will stand and answer for every word spoken from any pulpit I've ever stood in. I will stand before the judgment seat of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I will give an account for every decision that I have made in contradiction to His will. And I will have to give myself wholly to Him and to His forgiveness in order to face that day and be saved. But I know that that's the case because God's Word is true. You can count on it. You can rely on it. You can bank on it. In a world full of lies, the Bible is true. Number four, you never have to worry about if God still pours out blessings. You know, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." James 1:17, "Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights." Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. Jesus says, "God's blessings are so great, they are so plentiful, there are so many, that they fall not only on the just, but they flow over onto the unjust." That He causes the sun to shine on the just and the unjust. If you're praying for sunshine, you know, the neighbor next door that might not have any desire to have anything to do with God, he's going to get some sunshine too, isn't he? And if we're in a drought and you pray for rain and God sends us rain, your neighbor's going to get some too, whether he has any desire to follow God whatsoever. God's blessings are plentiful. So plentiful, in fact, that they just fall on everyone. If you wake up in the morning with the opportunity to serve God, you are receiving a blessing from Him. It is a blessing to wake up in the morning and to begin a day serving the God of heaven. You know, never fail to realize and be thankful for all the blessings that you receive from God daily, and never doubt for a moment that those blessings are ever going to stop. Number three, Bobby, you're not going to get your full nap. I'm moving, brother. You never have to worry about if there's still room at the cross. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9 says, "But we do see Him who was made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God He might taste death for everyone." He tasted death for everyone. There is room at the cross for every person in the billions of people that have lived and will live upon this earth. The cross of Jesus is infinite in room. And the blood never stops flowing to forgive the sins of men. Jesus Christ will never run out of room for you. John chapter 14, He said, "In My Father's house are many mansions," right? There's plenty of room. And Jesus says there is. And He went and He prepared a place that we could be in one of those many places that He has in His Father's house. There is plenty of room at the cross for you. Number two, you never have to worry about if God still loves you. I've had people tell me, "I'm too bad. I've done too many awful things for God to love me." Folks, never doubt. That is a constant in this world. God loves you. No matter what you've done or will do, God still loves you as much as He did when He sent Jesus to die for you on the cross. We as parents can understand that, can't we? Mamas, you understand that, don't you? It doesn't matter what poor or foolish decisions your children may or make or will make. That doesn't change your love. You don't love them any less. In fact, when they make those mistakes, it makes us love them more, doesn't it? Give more of ourselves to them, to try to help them, to try to maybe dig them out of the hole they're in, or try to hopefully redirect them down a path that will take them to a better place in their lives. It creates greater love in us when our children make mistakes. And it's done the same with God. He loves us even more. We understand this. It doesn't matter what we do. God still loves us. He loves you as much as He did when He sent Jesus Christ to die for you on the cross. Romans 5, He says, "While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." That is the manifestation or the showing of God's love to us. God chose to love you, and that is a choice that He will never take back. And His love has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with your actions. It has everything to do with Him. His choice, who He is, because He is love. He loves you. Romans chapter 8, verses 37 through 38 says, "Who will separate us from the love of Christ? That's the question. Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer. Now see, they were being persecuted. He said, we're being persecuted all day. But it doesn't matter what people are doing to us. We overwhelmingly conquer. Because of your love. Because through Him who loved us. For I am convinced, he says, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing. Well, that covers it, doesn't it? Any created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can tear you away from the love of God. Nothing can cause God to not love you. Nothing can or will remove God's love for you. So don't worry. It's a constant. God always has, He does, and He always will love you. Last of all, number one, you never have to worry about if Jesus still saves. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 12 through 16, he says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because He considered me faithful, putting me into the service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. It is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Which Paul goes on to say, among whom I am foremost of all. Yet for this reason, I found mercy. See, for the reason, what reason? The reason that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Yet for this reason, he says, I found mercy so that in me as foremost Jesus Christ might demonstrate His perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in Him for eternal life. Paul says, I'm the worst there is. And if Jesus Christ could save me and will save me, He can and He will and He wants to save you. And save me. You know, he says it's a trustworthy statement. See, that means Paul's saying it's absolutely true in every circumstance. There's never a circumstance out there in our world that you'll ever run into that Jesus Christ didn't come to save you. It's true in every sense. It's a certainty. He said not only is it a trustworthy statement, but it's deserving of full acceptance. Let me tell you what. That statement, everyone should accept it, shouldn't they? That Jesus Christ came to save them. It is deserving for everyone's acceptance, for what He did in order to make it possible for Him to save us in dying on the cross. Jesus came to save sinners. Let me tell you what, I'm in that number. And so are you. And if I was just in that number without Jesus Christ, that'd be a bad thing, wouldn't it? There'd be no hope. See, I'm in that number. I'm numbered with the sinners. Jesus came to save me. Thanks be to God He did. That truth will always be. Jesus will always save as long as this earth stands. These 10 realities that you never need to worry about being real and being true only help you, though, if you come to God. Come to God seeking answers from the Bible that can change your life in profound ways. Seeking to draw near so that God can draw near to you with that love that He has for you, that He can give you all that He wants to give you. You know, sometimes we as parents, we want to give things to our children, but they won't draw near and allow us to. Sometimes we're like that with God. He wants to give us things, but we won't draw near to Him so that He can draw near to us and give us what He so desires to give. We need to come to God seeking His truth and the power that it has to save. seeking His blessings that are abundant for all mankind, seeking salvation from Jesus Christ who came to save sinners. Don't worry about any of these things we've talked about today. They're always going to be. They are a constant every day. No matter what the next 30 seconds holds for your life, these will still be a constant. These will still be true, no matter what's going on around you. Simply embrace the power of God that is behind these things and live a life that is truly wonderful in Christ Jesus. You know, it is a trustworthy statement deserving of full acceptance. Jesus came to save you. And Jesus came to save me. He came to save you. Won't you let Him? He's not going to force it on you. He's not going to make you be saved. But won't you let Him? He loved you. And John said, by responding to His love, by giving your life to Him, you perfect that love. See, His love's not wasted. Sometimes we extend love to people and they don't want it, right? They waste the love. They waste what I would give to them. They waste what you would give to them. But when they take it and they benefit from the love that we would offer, then that love is perfected. It reaches its end. It reaches what we want it to reach. And God loves you. But the only way His love makes a difference in your life and reaches what He wants it to reach in your life is that you come near to Him, that you give yourself to Him, that you let Him do what He wants so desperately to do, and that's save you. You can do that this morning. If you're not a child of God, come believing in Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what, if there's anything in this world to believe in, it's Jesus Christ. We believe in a lot of things. People have a lot of beliefs and a lot of things, but there's just one that really is important, and that's Jesus Christ and what He's done. Confess Him as the Lord, Son of God, one that left the glories of heaven and came to this earth to die for you. Repent of your sins, to change, to make those changes we talked about a while ago that God has the power to make in your life, that the God's Word has the power to make in your life as it provides you all things that you need for life and godliness. Change your life today. It will be for the better. Be buried in baptism. Having your sins washed away there because Jesus Christ's blood does that. Rise to walk a new life, having been born into the family of God, to be a child of God. There's nothing greater. Mothers, we love you. But there's a Father we should love more and give our whole life to. We're here today to honor Him, to worship Him, because no one has ever done more for us. This morning, if you're a child of God, maybe you've worried about these things. Maybe you've forgotten that Jesus Christ came to save you. Maybe you've forgotten what you need to give to Him. Rededicate your life. Dedicate your life to the certainties that there are in the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we can assist you this morning, if we can help you, if we can pray for you, won't you let us as we stand and as we sing.